find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN. The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. What happens after the game wraps up, either when the day is done or the professional career is done? We'll take a look at what your favorite athletes are doing when they aren't in the game. Now, here is your host, Lamar Campbell.
Welcome back to Life After the Game. I'm your host, Lamar Campbell. Today is Monday, June 13th, and I'm broadcasting from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia, as I do every week at 6 p.m. Thanks for making sure that Life After the Game is one of the fastest rising shows on Voice America Sports. We really appreciate your following and your fan base. Feel free to give us a call today at 1-888-346-9144. And be sure to send any questions you have to Twitter at Life After T Game. That's twitter.com, Life After T Game. Well, it's definitely been a monumental weekend in professional sports this week. Of course, we just crowned the Dallas Mavericks 2011 NBA champions. And let me be the first to say that the Dallas Mavericks definitely deserve it. Shout out to the Miami Heat for actually giving them, you know, a very good series, one of the most entertaining series that I've seen in a long time, the time I've actually taken to actually watch every game of a championship series. Too bad that, you know, the Heat could not pull it off. I guess I think anything but a championship for them is considered a failure. But the guys are young. They'll have another shot. And we'll go ahead and talk about that more as the week rolls on. Of course, tonight, day 93 of the NFL lockout, there has been no new information as far as when an agreement will be done with the NFL and NFLPA Players Association. But we're looking forward to having football this year. And I don't want to take any more time. I have a great show lined up for you tonight. I have my former teammate, Freddie Scott, coming on the show today. We're going to be speaking about football and fatherhood and the importance that us as fathers and mothers can play in our children's lives moving forward. Now, I also want to give a shout out to the Atlanta Falcons as well. I also want to give a shout out to all the local radio stations because Freddie was actually a former Atlanta Falcon. So I'm going to take a couple emails real quick from some of our fans, take a couple questions about the NBA. Then we're going to get right into fatherhood and football. This email coming in from a Atlanta Falcon 29. Do I think LeBron James will be back with Miami Heat next year? Well, considering the money that he just paid those gentlemen, I'm sure LeBron James will be back next year. I'm sure it won't be a situation where he will not be with the Miami Heat. However, you know, everything is up for change right now. I think Miami Heat will definitely make some moves in the offseason. I think the fact that they saw a team such as Dallas with one superstar and great role player to understand their role has led them to an NBA championship. If there's anyone that should be scratching their head right now, I would say would be the Chicago Bulls. Who the Heat actually did beat in five games, but as a young team gave up two or three of those games away early in the series. Taking another email from HawksFan21. HawksFan21 wants to ask me, do you think the Atlanta Hawks will go after anyone from the Miami Heat? One thing I want to tell everyone that's sending me questions in about the offseason for the NBA is the NBA is actually headed for where the NFL is headed right now. And unless anything is done by the end of this month, we're going to be looking at an NBA lockout. So it's a possibility that we could find ourselves as NBA fans in the same position as we are with the NFL as well. And I think it will be the first time in history that two lockouts will actually be simultaneously going on during the calendar year. And so that's the last email I'm going to take. I really want to focus on fatherhood and football. And I really want to start bringing in by my guest, my good friend, my former teammate, Freddie Scott II. Freddie, how are you doing today, buddy?
I am fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Freddie. Really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day. For all you that don't know, Freddie's a father of five, so I know it's hard to get some free time for yourself. So we definitely appreciate you coming on Life After the Game today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Anytime, Lamar. Anytime.
So listen, you are what I call a dynamic dad, Freddie. Me and Freddie had a chance to play together in Detroit. He was actually a Big Ten guy, a little older than me, but Wisconsin used to come down to Happy Valley and vice versa. And we had some great Big Ten battles. And it's funny, we're going to start with the Big Ten, Freddie, because with all the NCAA violations that are going on, and we all played for some prestigious coaches. You actually had a chance to play for Joe Paterno. I played for Barry Alvarez. And actually, with everything that's going on in Ohio State with the NCAA violations and Jim Tressel, what do you think as a father figure? Because as you know, as former football players, a lot of times when kids come to college, you know, the first father figure some of them have being from underprivileged backgrounds, a lot of the kids is the actual head football coach of that university. How do you think that's affecting some of the guys right now and the Big Ten in itself?
Well, just one footnote for all the followers out there for you. I did set a Big Ten record for most catches in a game against Wisconsin. You may have been on the field that day. But putting that aside, it is a major issue of what's going on in collegiate athletics and the correlation to fatherlessness in America today, and the amazing amount of young people that are going to college from a single-parent home. In the African-American community alone, 72% of African-American children are being raised by an unwed single-parent mom. 72%. So when you look at kids going to high school, even just look at the NFL draft, you know, how many guys had mom and dad versus just mom? Right. And so when you look at this young person coming out of high school, they go to college, their football coach, head coach, basically is that father figure, and even more importantly, really their position coach really becomes their mentor and that father figure. But hey, I can only have 20 hours with the kids a week, otherwise I break an NCAA rule. So it's almost like the NCAA wants it both ways. You know, we want you to know what's going on with the kids, but you can only spend 20 hours a week with the kids. And so you really can't do an effective job either way based upon the way the rules are right now. And even the academic support team is admitting to the fact that, hey, that when we try to provide the academic support for the guys, we're realizing that the majority of the issues have nothing to do with their ability to learn, but it's the emotional issues or the family drama that they're the baggage that they're coming on campus with that we're not really equipped to support.
Right. Exactly, Freddie. And one of the things that we've had several conversations on the show where, you know, you were a highly recruited. Your father was an All-American football player. And, you know, a lot of times when coaches come and they recruit these kids out of single family households, and I can look at my situation in itself when Barry Alvarez came and sat on my couch, my parents didn't know the first thing about football recruiting. And a lot of times it's their job to get the kids into the school. But at the end of the day, are they really going to be that father figure when they're sitting there on your couch? You know, everyone comes to their couches and they have the perfect sales pitch. They have their championship rings on. They tell you what the school can do for your son. But at the same time, are they really going to be there at that father figure? You know, a guy may choose a university based on the head coach. And then 2 years later, the head coach may not be there. And then that gentleman is left in limbo, and that may have been a father figure that he may have never had in his life. That may have played a distinct possibility as far as being that he chose that university because of that head coach, and now that father figure is gone. The NCAA, that's a completely different show, but I can go on and on about the rules. It's like, you know, it's a can't win situation for a lot of these kids in the NCAA.
You're exactly right, and just put yourself in the end. You know, maybe you're one of the kids that, you know, for one reason or the other, obviously just different reasons for different things that happen in the family, all have drama, so to speak, but you're this young boy that, you know, dad's not there for whatever reason, and you've gravitated towards your football coach, and you've watched this particular school, you know, growing up all the time, and all of a sudden you look up and the head coach is there in your locker room, in your living room, you know, flying you up to campus and basically, you know, saying, hey, listen, I'm going to be there for you. This is going to be the best opportunity for you as a player and as a student. And then you look up, like you said, and 2 years later, either the coach is either fired or he goes on to take another job someplace else. And so now you have this young person that put his hope in this coach. And then the coach isn't there anymore, which is when you look at everything that's going on in Columbus, Ohio right now, those players, Pryor didn't leave just because, you know, he was going to be ineligible. He knew he couldn't step foot in the locker room again because how many of those guys looked up to Coach Tressel as a father figure, and they couldn't forgive him for what they did in the position they put their father figure in to have to make him resign. So it is a tough spot for these young people, and but there are solutions and things we can do to help the young people and help families so that they're equipped to be successful when they hit the college campus.
Yeah, you're right, Freddie. Numerous things that we can do. If you're just joining us, give us a call at 1-888-346-9144. I have NFL veteran Freddie Scott, author of The Dad I Wish I Had on Life After the Game today. We've got about 4 minutes until the first break, Freddie, but with you playing for Joe Paterno, and I'm a PA guy originally from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, tell us a little bit about what it was like playing for a guy like Joe Paterno up there in Happy Valley.
You alluded a little bit to the process of recruiting. And when I went through it growing up, Michigan, of course, was big. I went to high school there in Detroit. Chris Weber was a year ahead of me, went to the same high school. So Chris was my host during the Fab 5 years, if you remember that.
Right.
And I was born in Miami, so I was a huge Miami Hurricane fan. And Dennis Erickson was the coach then, and they just come off the national championship. And then here you get this, you know, old guy with thick glasses and Joe Paterno who's recruiting me. And the thing that stood out to me as the reason why I chose Penn State over Michigan, over Miami, over the other schools is, first of all, it's a place that I felt most at home.
Right.
So if you're a parent, if you're a young athlete, first of all, you have to realize it's not just about the color of the uniform and, you know, how big the stadium is and, you know, and all the things they do for you on a recruiting trip. When it's all said and done, do you really blend in with the culture of that campus? Do you blend in with the culture of that team? Do you blend in with the culture of the players that you're going to have to live with and go to school with day in and day out? I felt most at home there. And truth be told, I never went in the locker room during my trip. I never saw the jersey. You know, we don't have names on the back of our jersey, but I never saw the jersey. I spent my trip with the academic support team and with the players, with the guys, the people that you're going to be basically spending all your time with. And then, of course, just looking at the track record of all the support, how many seniors are graduating, the alumni coming back and the support and the love that they still have with the program versus other programs where, hey, you get hurt, you know, you're sort of out of sight, out of mind. And so I really believed that Coach wanted me as a person, not just me as a player. And this is a true story. Quickly, I know you have to go to break. I was on my recruiting trip, and there's another guy that grew up in the same hometown as me in Detroit who was a great athlete. I was rated number one in the state. He was rated number three in the state, but the number one running back. I was the number one receiver. Well, on my trip, my recruiting coordinator asked me if I knew this guy. And I said, I know him. Because we had actually just been on a trip at another Big Ten school together.
Okay.
And he tells me, well, for me, his coach sent us his high school film, and we looked at him on film, and he looks great on film, but we pulled up his transcript, and he'd never make it here academically. So we're not even going to call him.
Right.
Now, Big Ten school with him. They had the same information. I go to Penn State. They had the same information and said, I'm not going to call the guy, even though he's a great athlete, even though he could be a huge contributor to our program on the field. He doesn't meet our standards off of it.
That's great, Freddie. Freddie, I'm gonna cut you off real quick. We have to go to break. We're going to pick up on that topic when we come back from break. Freddie Scott, Lamar Campbell, Life After the Game. Stay tuned.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Do you feel the need for speed? Whatever your addiction, NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, Formula One, or even lawnmower racing, Pit Pass USA has got you covered. Larry Henry here, host of Pit Pass USA. I put my 30-plus years of being a motorsports broadcaster to work to bring you not only the best guests, but also the most interesting guests in racing. Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry, your front row seat to the world of racing. Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel. Be there or get a DNF.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network. And let's talk football.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bench his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to Lamar at lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Life After the Game. I'm your host, Lamar Campbell, with my very special guest, Mr. Freddie Scott. Please feel free to give us a call at 1-888-346-9144 or reach out to me at Twitter at Life After T Game. That's twitter.com, Life After T Game, or reach out to me by email at Lamar at lifeafterthegame.com. Now, Freddie, before we went to commercial break, you were speaking of gentlemen making decisions based on feeling at home. And based on being comfortable with the campus and comfortable with the atmosphere. But before we went to break, you also mentioned that academics played a very distinctive role in the choice that you made as far as college. And you were telling us a great story about that. Let's go ahead and pick back up on that.
Yes. See, if you're a young person that's going to get recruited or a parent of a child that you think is going to get recruited, the first thing that I did was try to determine what do I want to major in. At the time of going, I wanted to go into engineering. And so why am I going to go and visit a school that doesn't even have an engineering program, regardless of how good the football team is? And so, of course, Penn State had a great program, and that was one of the main deciding factors as to why I wanted to go to that school was because not only did I know they had the football pedigree and a coach and a living legend like a Joe Paterno, but when I heard for the heart of the recruiters and the coaches and the academic support team and the commitment that they had to us off the field, to me, I knew that, you know what, I'm not just a piece of meat going on campus just trying to, you know, win games for you. But you want me to make sure that I'm as prepared as possible for success after the game. And to me, that's the thing that was most comforting and made Penn State the right fit for me.
And that, you know, and I've heard so many stories that go the opposite way, Fred. I've heard a lot of guys say they just picked it for the wrong reasons. And both of us have been in NFL locker rooms. And one of the things that I try to explain to a lot of fathers out there is that, you know, when you're in the NFL locker room, you get people from all walks of life and all different situations where they came from when they made that decision to go somewhere collegiately. And as I mentioned earlier, my family didn't know the first thing about college recruiting. Barry Alvarez sat on my couch and he had the Rose Bowl ring that year, and Brad Childress, former head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, Coach Huber, who's up there with the Minnesota Vikings, three or four NFL head coaches sat in my front room. And thank God for me that I grew up in a family of educators, teachers. I don't think I said a word the entire visit on my couch because my aunts were grilling Coach Alvarez, not only on the education, but the graduation rate. What were the majors? Yeah. What was campus life going to be like? And I sit back and I think what it would have been like if I didn't have that support system with me to make the decision that I made. I decided to go to University of Wisconsin. Barry Alvarez was a father figure. He was a great coach. He's someone that to this day, I can still pick up the phone and give him a phone call and just talk to him and see how things are going up there now. He's now the athletic director at University of Wisconsin. So those ties, those family bonds that you build, not only with your teammate, but when you're able to build them with your coaches as well, it's just a great experience to actually have. And a lot of guys didn't have that experience coming out of high school and going into college. But you, Freddie, we're going to go in and jump to this. You're actually the son of an NFL football player. Your father, Freddie Scott Sr., who's actually in the College Football Hall of Fame. Tell our listeners what it was like to actually grow up as a son of an NFL player.
As you could imagine, it's a dream come true in some senses. You know, you're able to go to football games and go in the locker room after the game. And in fact, my dad had one of the first Nike shoe contracts. So we had three shoes shipped to the house. I had a closet full of Nikes. Now, this is before Nike was Nike. We're talking about, you know, the early 80s. So we weren't really into shoes like it is. It was before Jordan was Jordan. But still, it was a great experience to be able to go to games, be around great players, go in the locker room, see the culture and the pace of what the NFL life was like. But then also the flip side of that coin I also experienced in the fact that, you know, my dad grew up without a father in his home. So he really didn't grow up with a mentor, with a guide, with a paradigm to really understand the impact that a man has in his household. And he made some decisions that were good and made some decisions that weren't so good. So I was able to see the bitter with the sweet, with the experience, the sweet being having birthday parties on the football field, and the downside is, you know, and the downside of just some of the family trials and tribulations that we experience as young people.
And I can just imagine that. I'm the father of a 3.5, about to be 4-year-old stick of dynamite. And he is all over the place. I mean, and I never, he's never going to have the chance to actually see his dad play and have that experience of walking on the field with his dad. But he's at the age now where he's really getting into sports. He's really starting to understand sports. And he's just really starting to realize, hey, my dad played in the NFL. It's funny because I was actually converting VHS tapes to the DVDs for him just so he could see his dad play in the years that I played there in Detroit. And I said, look, that's your daddy playing football. He was like, daddy, you big, he's small. So, of course, that prompted me to get back into the gym a little bit because, of course, my little man thought I was a little heavy. And the relationship I have with Detroit, you know, I'm sure me and him will go to Detroit games. I'm sure he'll have a chance to go on the field in the alumni days. But I know as a former football player and with everything going on now with the concussions and the injuries, you know, we can actually educate our sons in a different way. And the first question that I get is that, okay, I guess because you're a football player, you want your son to be a football player. And the first thing I tell my people, I tell everyone, is that I want my son to be educated. That way he can be whatever he wants to be. I will not put a football in his hand if he does not like it. Whatever his niche is, I will support it. Do you get a lot of questions as far as your sons playing football and following in your footsteps?
Of course. In fact, I had the honor with all four of my boys this year. I just finished coaching all four of my boys' baseball teams. And the way it broke down, I have a 10-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 5-year-old. All of them are boys, and then my baby girl is 3. And so the 9 and 10-year-old were on the same team, and the 5 and 6-year-old were on the same team. So I said, you know what? This is going to be the only chance I get at this. So I coached all of them. And you can see the athletic ability. My oldest team coached, and we won the championship on Saturday. A great come from behind victory. And I'm always told to push them into football. But I've always told them this, and I tell people this, is that, like you said, my job is to coach their abilities, not make them be
exactly
what I am. I'm not going to force feed my will on them. My job is to identify what is their skill sets, what are they passionate about, what are they gifted for, and then my job is to position them to be able to maximize those skills to the best ability as possible. In fact, the project I'm working on, a book I'm writing on, is I'm going to be talking about the illustration of the Super Bowl with Ravens. When he was brought there, he was brought there as an offensive genius.
Yes.
He was good because he was the offensive coordinator in 98 with the Vikings. They ran, you know, had one of the most prolific offenses in NFL history with Carter and Moss and you know, and Randall Cunningham.
Hello? I think we lost Freddie for a minute, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go ahead and try to get Freddie back on. But just so you guys know, I do remember that prolific 1998 year because I was actually in Detroit that year, and the Minnesota Vikings definitely put a whipping on us numerous times.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, I got you, Freddie. You're back, buddy. You're back. Right. Go for it.
I was just saying that what Billick did was he identified the skill set of his team. He didn't force his offensive genius on his team. He just coached the team based on where they were. And I feel like that's what we can do as dads is realize, okay, where are our kids' sets? I have an older son that he's athletic, but he's not passionate about football. So I'm not going to make him do something I'm passionate about. And that's just wisdom for any one of us to do to help our kids be positioned to do what they just what we want them to do.
Right. If you're just joining in, I have Freddie Scott, NFL vet, author of The Dad I Wish I Had. Feel free to give me a shout out on Twitter, Life After T Game, or also at 1-888-346-9144 for any questions that you have. And you hit it right on the head. It's all about forming their minds and sculpting their minds to be their own men and do their own things. You know, my father was a great football player where I grew up, right outside of Philadelphia in Chester, Pennsylvania. And I actually was a late bloomer on the football field. I didn't think I was a track guy. I didn't even know I had football skills. And then I see so much of my game in his game. But I can say they never pressured me to be a football player. They pressured me to be a great educated young man, to be able to make any decision, be able to do whatever I decided to do once that opportunity was set in front of me. And unfortunately, Freddie, we have a lot of men out there that don't have that type of positive influence in their everyday lives. And sometimes these are the top college prospects going into the NCAA with a different type of mindset. And the sculpted mindset that they have can actually be a detriment once they get away from their family.
Exactly. Unfortunately, we have too many young men who don't know what it means to be a man. Or the paradigm of manhood is being shaped by what they hear in music, music today, what they see in the movies, what they see on TV. And being a man has nothing to do with how many women you can get, how many numbers you can get, you know, the type of car you drive. I mean, yes, provision has, you know, there's a role for that, but my focus as a man needs to be, first of all, trying to be a person of integrity, being a person of character, being a person that I'm a man of my word. If I say it, I'm going to do it. Being a person of great work ethic. I mean, these are just some basic attributes that seem to be lost in today's society because young people, especially young men, haven't either seen it or they haven't been able to gravitate or be groomed by somebody who's going to help them and push them to maximize the potential that they have within themselves. And so right now we have young people going on campus in a man's body, but they're still a child inside, and we've got to do what we can to try to help them understand what it really means to be a man, what it really means to be a leader, what it really means to step into the roles and positions that society needs for us to be in, because every man influences other people. We understand in the locker room there's certain people that we just gravitate towards, and we can impact each other either positive or for the negative. And we need to understand, how do I impact the people around me and the people that are depending on me in a positive way?
Right, and fatherhood is so important. And one thing that I've learned, Freddie, being a father the last 3 years, is that just like any time in life, you are constantly learning. I was very nervous when I became a dad. I thought I had a positive background with my father and my grandfather, being able to be a great dad. But what you learn is that it's still room to grow as far as being a man, as far as being a father. And all those things take shape, and you learn from your experiences and experience that you've seen other people have to deal with on an everyday basis. We're going to get ready to go to commercial. I have my buddy Freddie Scott on the line, author of The Dad I Wish I Had. When we come back, we're going to discuss his book and the inspiration behind it and the foreword by Tony Dungy. Stay tuned. Lamar Campbell, Life After the Game.
internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Do you think that all of the generic financial information you get every day is hard to navigate? You need to tune in to Duffy's Financial Playbook. Every weekend, Andre S. Duffy will help you filter out this information and turn it into wisdom that you can really use. Be informed about the financial decisions you're about to make instead of just blindly making decisions. Andre's connections in the business and professional sports world will help you so you don't need to worry about your financial success. Tune in to Duffy's Financial Playbook, Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Sports.
Tired of the same mundane talk radio show, boring opinions, and people not knowing or telling the truth? Tune into The Sports Life with Josh and Otis. This show is brought to you by two men who know the good, the bad, and the ugly of professional sports. Josh and Otis's experience and careers in the NFL give them access to the inside information and a reason to have a candid opinion. Tune into the Voice America Sports Channel Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific. The Sports Life with Josh and Otis. It's more than sports talk. It's a way of life.
We some hard hitters, we some hard hitters.
Hard-hitting radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard-hitting radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to Lamar at lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Life After the Game. I'm your host, Lamar Campbell. My very special guest, Freddie Scott, former NFL player and author of The Dad I Wish I Had. Now, I call Freddie the dynamic dad. I'm definitely being a sponge when it comes to Freddie and everything that he's experienced as a father with his five siblings. Five little ones. I'm not the five little ones yet, Freddie, but just in case, you know, I'm definitely listening to everything you have to say today, and hopefully all our listeners are as well. Now, for all of you that really don't know too much about Freddie, he is has a history as a player in the National Football League. He's a minister. He's a youth counselor. He's a public speaker. And he's an author. He's also the founder and president of Unlock the Champion, LLC. And that is an organization dedicated to empowering families and the teaching of fundamental life skills essential to character development for people raised in broken homes and especially athletes. Freddie, I loved your book, The Dad I Wish I Had. I wish I had some free ones to give out. I'm actually planning on sending some out to some dads that I know for Father's Day. But give us a little bit about the inspiration for writing The Dad I Wish I Had, and what type of mind frame were you in when you decided to write this book?
Well, when I wrote the manuscript, I was the whole concept actually just came to me. I was at church on a Wednesday night Bible study night, and we were doing a series of from Focus on the Family called The Truth Project, and we were doing a session on family. And I just believe the Lord just spoke to me and said, write a book entitled The Dad I Wish I Had. I mean, it just came to me just like that. But I knew exactly what he was talking about. As we talked about, I'm a second-generation NFL player. My dad played 11 years in the league. But as many of us can relate with, sometimes we wish our relationship with our fathers were better than what it is. Right. And so it's not the dad I never had, it's the dad I wish I had, because many times we all can relate with the fact that, you know what, I wish I had more time with my dad. I wish my dad wasn't just such a workaholic and just provided, but he wasn't really there for me. Or I didn't see him. Regardless of what spectrum of the relationship you have with your father, be amazed to see how many people either start watering up, their eyes water up when they just hear that title. Or men just shut down and say, no, I can't even put that right now. Or you'll have, I've had dads actually read the book and drive over 500 miles to go see their child that lives in a different state just to take them to school and tell them that they love them.
That is awesome.
That the drama between them and their and the baby's mother means nothing compared to what that is from them.
Exactly.
And so for me, it's been humbling to be able to see that there's so many people, young people and adults, really embracing the message and really being helped to be able to help strengthen and bridge gaps between fathers and their children.
Right. If you're just joining me, I have Freddie Scott, author of The Dad I Wish I Had on Life After the Game. Feel free to give us a call at 1-888-346-9144. We're going to be taking questions and emails in our final segment. Freddie, the third chapter of your book, The Dad I Wish I Had, is titled My Hero, My Pain. And that's something that definitely spoke to me a lot when I read your book. Give the listeners a little a brief synopsis about what chapter 3 is all about.
Well, we all remember growing up and saying, my dad's the strongest, my dad's the fastest, my dad's the smartest, you know, my dad's better than your dad, my dad will beat your dad up. You know, we all went through that, right?
Right,
and,
right.
Because every child is wired to believe the very best in their parents, to believe the very best in their father, to believe that, you know, my dad's not going to let me down.
Right.
Dad's going to come through for me. And it's crushing when a young person grows up and they realize that their dad, their Superman, has kryptonite.
Wow.
That they're not as perfect as they thought they were. Mm. And really, this is a point where we either have a make or break for kids, because we already know we're not perfect.
Right.
The problem comes is when we still try to project ourselves as something that we're really not, and our kids call us out on it. And if we don't fess up and say, you know what, Daddy shouldn't have done that. You know what, Daddy, I'm sorry, son. You were right. I was wrong. If we're not transparent at that point, we will lose our credibility. And unfortunately, there's too many young people that don't find their parents credible, because when they realize that parent had kryptonite and the parent didn't want to admit that they had kryptonite,
right.
Now I say, well, why should I go to you for advice when you're not even honest with yourself about where we are in life?
Right. And that's one thing that I try to instill, even with my little man at 3.5 years old, Freddie, is that he can come to me about anything. He saw Daddy fall down a step bringing the groceries up, and we've laughed together. He saw Daddy make mistakes. And it's the littlest thing, but it makes me feel so proud, because he'll come to me and he'll say, Daddy, I spilled this. Or don't do that. Or he'll check me. I'll say something like, stupid. That's a bad word, Daddy. You shouldn't say stupid. But that relationship and that bond is forming to where me and my son can talk about anything. And that's one thing that I cherish. And I really do believe as a father, if he can come to me about anything, I will keep him out of so much trouble. It's so much that we can talk about. It's so much that we can bond on being able to have that open relationship together. And that's something that I'm learning. That's something that you think that you go into fatherhood, and I was so proud to be a dad that I actually overlooked everything that it took to be a dad, and actually started learning on the run, because we're all individuals. Every situation is completely different between father and son.
Yep. Now think about this. One of the greatest ways in which you can sort of assess and cultivate that relationship and keep that open door policy is, remember when you're still in that stage, when your kids are little, they want to come to you and tell you everything. You know, Daddy,
right.
Daddy, look, I colored this. Daddy, I learned this in school. Daddy,
right.
Hey, look at this. And the question comes to mind is, how many times do your children have to call your name before you respond?
Wow.
And sometimes as we get older and, you know, you come home from work and you're tired and, you know, you got all this stuff, all you want to do is come home and just chill out, and the last thing you want to hear is, you know, the kids whining and all of that. But from the kids' perspective, Daddy just got home. Oh, I can tell Daddy what happened today. They don't know this drama and the stress and everything else. They know is, now I can get Daddy's attention. And what will happen if we're not sensitive is, Daddy, will turn to Daddy, will turn to Daddy.
Wow.
Will turn to stop calling. And
wow.
Then at that point, we say, hey, come talk to me. And and our children will be like, well, you didn't want to hear about when I colored the apple green. So, you know, and so we have to realize that everything we do is a seed, and we have to really just cultivate that and be real sensitive to, you know, when our kids are really pulling on us, it's because they need something from us, and that's okay.
Right.
And typically, they just need 10, 15 seconds. Just look them in the eye. Yes. Oh, okay. Oh, that's beautiful.
Right. <You're fine. laughs> And you know what, Freddie? It's funny that you mentioned that. When it becomes, you know, they don't want to talk to you at all. I remember the first time little man went to the bathroom. We were potty training, and I would walk into the bathroom and help him pull down his pants, and he was potty training, and we would give each other dap and do our little dance. And then the day finally came, and he was like, "Can you close the door, Daddy? I was hurt.
I was hurt."
He didn't even want me in the bathroom with him. I was proud of him as a dad, but even in a good way, he was like, "I'm old enough to do this on my own." He got to that point.
I got this, Dad. I've got this.
I got it, Daddy. I don't need you to flush the toilet, lift up the toilet seat, turn on the light, have my little step stool here. Let me have my private time in the bathroom. And then came out and started watching Disney Playhouse. And it was almost started crying, Freddie, because it was that first moment of independence. But I also knew at the same time that all the repetitions of me and him going to the bathroom, all the repetitions of being patient with him when he made a mistake, finally paid off. And it was that first instance of him showing that independence. And I remember how proud I was and how hurt I was, but how hurt I would be even more so if he didn't ask me to come into the bathroom with him at all.
Well, you have to realize that that's ultimately what our job is to do as parents.
Exactly.
And even for the single moms out there, a lot of times you have to realize if you're a single mom and you're raising a young man, we need to realize that, yes, they're your son, but someday they're going to be somebody's husband.
Right.
And they need to be able to – and one of the rules we should apply is never do for our children something that they can do for themselves.
Right.
Because what happens is we'll enable – we'll baby them, and now they're a teenager now, and they're still getting babied in certain areas versus, no, I'm providing you the support that you need in the season of your life, and at some point in time, you should be able to do this on your own. And even though I want to hold on to you in this stage of you being a baby, being a toddler, and et cetera, at some point I have to realize that I'm preparing you for life. And
right.
So, and it tears us up because we see our kids and it's like, I still want to just hug you. I still want to just carry you. I still remember you when we brought you home from the hospital. But you know what? My oldest son, he only has 6 more years left in the house.
Wow.
And
goes by
going
fast.
On. You know, Penn State's got a nice recruiting class coming up. You know, but I've got this window of time to pour in his life the things and the skills that he's going to need so that he can be like you said, Daddy, I got this.
And that's such a proud moment. And one thing other about the little man that, you know, I really like is that he wants to help do everything. He wants to see how it's done. Oh, I'm getting ready to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, little man. Can I help? Oh, I'm getting ready to go downstairs and do something with the car, little man. Can I help? And I remember at times, you know, it's the little things, you know, riding the bike, fixing the flat, changing the oil, that so many men that I speak to today, it really reflects on the fathers that they are. And we all learn from our situations. We all want to do better for our children. But those little things, those bonding moments, a lot of our young men miss these days.
Yep. And see, and those are the simple things. If you ask your kids, what do you really want from your parents? It's not having a tree full of presents at Christmas. It's not spending, you know, tens of thousands of dollars on vacations, even though vacations are great to do if you can do that. What our kids really want from us is just that time. And when we just take that time and let our kids hold the hose while we wash the car so they can see this is how you do it. They let you, hey, this is how you vacuum. This is how you make up a bed. This is how you put deodorant under your armpit. I mean, we've got to break it down and realize, listen, son, this is what it means to be a man. And the more we engraft them into that world, man, it makes it so much fun, and it empowers them because they're doing what they were conditioned to do. Think about this in football. I know you probably have to go to break. But in football, you got a playbook, and you had videos that you could watch. So it wasn't just getting a playbook and saying, okay, this is, you know, I ride 40 sweep. No, we could put on the film and say, this is this play against Wisconsin last year. This is how you do it. So we go on the practice field. I have a visual. I have a picture in my mind of what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to do it. And that's exactly what we are doing as fathers when we help our children, bring our children in, and bring them in with the chores and things we're doing around our day-to-day life.
That's my man, Freddie Scott, author of The Dad I Wish I Had. Stay tuned for the final segment of Life After the Game. We'll be right back.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
It's all Arizona, all over the world. If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, to the Voice America Sports Channel. Take us on the go. It's even easier now. The Voice America Talk Radio Network has launched our mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market to download the app powered by Aircast. It's free and no registration is necessary. In minutes, you could be enjoying your favorite Voice America Talk Radio host, no matter where you are, in the car, out and about, while traveling, or anytime you can't be close to your computer. Catch up on the archives you've missed or discover new shows on the spot. Search Voice America at your favorite app store.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. That goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything. Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You are tuned in to Life After the Game with your host, Lamar Campbell. If you wish to ask a question of Lamar or his guest, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or you can send an email to Lamar at lifeafterthegame.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Life After the Game. I'm your host, Lamar Campbell. My very special guest, Freddie Scott, author of The Dad I Wish I Had. Freddie, off air, man, you talked a little bit about Dwayne Wade. Now, Dwayne Wade is a topic of conversation today, obviously, because the Miami Heat failed to win the NBA championship last night against the Dallas Mavericks. But what me and you said offline is that there are things a lot more than important than that. You mentioned an article that you put on your Facebook page this week, which I actually shared with my followers as well, speaking on Dwayne's article about the importance of him gaining full custody of his sons. And we're just talking about the things that really matter. And if you think you would ask Dwayne Wade today, would he rather have an NBA championship or have custody of his two sons? Hands down, I guarantee you, he would say the custody of his two sons is a championship within itself.
And if you know anything about his story, I know ESPN did a great story about him and his mom and upbringing and just the trials and tribulations that he went through. And Dwayne actually went through that himself, where his father had custody of him based upon some challenges that his mom was having. And he was just saying how beneficial that was for him to have direct access in that time with his own father, and how excited he is to be able to have that same opportunity to have that impact on his own children. And so when you put all things in perspective like that, you know, as much as I am happy that the Mavericks won, I think the best team won, but I'm happy to see that a guy like a Dwayne Wade has things in perspective and have the right priorities in place, and realizing that at the end of the day, his job as a father is more important than his job as an NBA basketball player.
That's definitely the most important thing. Just got an email coming in from Mary22. Mary's emailing me in from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And she says she just looked at your book online and saw that you had a foreword by Tony Dungy. She wants to know, what was it like having a man like Tony Dungy actually have an opportunity to do the foreword for your book?
It was very humbling, also very exciting to get that type of validation and support. Jim Caldwell, who at the time when I wrote the manuscript was Coach Dungy's assistant head coach and had already been named the heir apparent, of course, he was my receiver coach at Penn State. And he, of course, introduced me to Coach, and they asked me to go up to the Coach facility and had a chance to speak to over 1,500 dads and their kids there with Coach Caldwell and Coach Dungy. And shortly after that, Coach Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, asked me to be a national spokesman for them. So I've been working with them now for over the past 3 years. But to get that type of validation from Coach Dungy, and you can read the excerpts there on my website and read the four there, is very humbling, but also it's a good confirmation to realize that you're heading in the right direction.
Exactly, Freddie. Now, you mentioned really briefly that you're a spokesman for All Pro Dads. For all our listeners out there that don't know what All Pro Dads are, give them a brief synopsis of what All Pro Dads is all about and how you guys impact the community.
Back in 1998, Coach Dungy, along with a gentleman named Mark Merrill, started an organization called All Pro Dad. You can go to allprodad.com for more information on it. And basically what we do is we have father and kid experiences at various NFL markets across the country, where we invite fathers to bring their kids and families out to NFL practice facilities or stadiums, depending upon the venue. And we just open up the field. We let the kids have a blast, and we'll have either current or current NFL players or alumni and coaches come out. We'll speak to the dads, and we'll give each dad a life lesson that they can apply immediately in their home. And so it's a great way to reach out, a great community activity that we do to engage our communities and to empower as many men as possible to love and lead their families. And then we also encourage dads to have breakfast at school with their children, especially if they're in elementary school. And so we have a program called All Pro Dad Mornings, where you can actually coordinate with your school, have a free program, invite dads to come out, go on campus, have breakfast with your kids, and just have a great moment of impact with them. And statistics prove that if a father is engaged in their kid's education, especially starting in elementary school, it increases the likelihood that that child graduates from high school by 60%. So if you want to have a direct impact on your kid's education, start going on campus, start having breakfast, start being engaged with their kids, especially as early as possible.
That's an awesome stat, Freddie. I did not know that. By 60%, that is amazing. That is an amazing stat.
Yeah, it's amazing the impact and the difference that even a school administrators will say, the difference between a child that has a dad that's directly involved, they go to the PTA conferences, they go on campus, they have breakfast or lunch with their kids, versus the kids that don't have that type of support. It is a drastic difference when dad, not mom. I love moms. I love my wife. She has a tremendous impact on the kids, but I'm specifically talking about the impact that dad. You can't pass this buck just on mom alone. Dad, you've got to step up. You've got to go on the field trips. This is not just a mama's job. This is a daddy's job.
Right. And it's funny you mentioned, I have a lot of emails from young ladies out here, single parents out here, single moms out here looking for some guidance as far as how to raise a little man when they have no positive male role model at home for them. Now, we have about 4 minutes to close, Freddie, but I would love for you to give them a little bit of advice on moving forward as far as looking for some positive situations to put them in with some positive men.
Well, I will say this, that most likely if you looked around your life, look around the circle of influence, your family, your friends, teachers, the church you attend. There's a handful of people most likely you can identify as somebody that could mentor, that could be that shadow, so to speak, for your child. Now, you can't force that relationship, but there are people I know growing up. I can look at my hand and realize there's my high school football coach operated as a mentor for me. My grandfather, you know, he poured some tremendous things in my life. My pastor, you know, poured some tremendous things in my life. And so I was able to look around me and find different things and different men around me that I believe gave me the skills and things necessary, even if my biological father didn't give me everything that I really wished he would have. And so don't feel like if just because dad may not be there, that that's it, or all hope is lost. There are people around you that I'm sure would be more than willing to teach your son how to tie a top, to go outside right. And this is how you catch a baseball, that can just really do some things that can still have a tremendous impact on your son.
Right. And if I can piggyback on that a little bit to all of my single moms emailing in, reach out to your local big brothers and big sisters of whatever city you may be listening in. I know there are numerous young men that are looking for it and are looking to mentor that feel the same way that Freddie and myself do about having positive male role models in kids' lives. Reach out to your local chapters of big brothers and big sisters, your natural urban league, your natural youth centers. There are tons of positive male role models out there for your son. I'm sure would love to bring him underneath their wing and teach them what it's like to be a man and what it's about to be a man. But don't be afraid to ask for help. There are tons of positive brothers out here looking to help these young men. Freddie, we have about 2 minutes left. I definitely appreciate you coming on the show today. You've been an inspiration to me. I hope you've been an inspiration to our listeners. Please let everyone know where they can find you for more information, your website, your book, everything.
Well, if you want a copy of the book, feel free. You can get it on Amazon, BarnesandNobles.com. You can get it directly from me at thedadiwishihad.com. You'll see excerpts from Coach Dungy, Coach Caldwell, even Lowell Perry, who is the president of the Middle Tennessee Big Brothers Big Sisters here, endorsing the book. All the media coverage there on thedadiwishihad.com. And if you want to connect with me personally, simply go to freddiescott.org, freddiescott.org. Or you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/Freddie Scott. That's FreddieScott. And I'm always on Twitter. I'm always on Facebook. If you ever want to reach out to me, you feel free to connect with me there.
Hey, Freddie, thank you so much for coming on the show today, brother. I will be ordering your book for some dads I know and sending it out for Father's Day. Definitely have a happy Father's Day, my man. I will definitely talk to you. And thanks for joining Life After the Game.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Anytime. You have a great day, and we'll talk to you real soon. Hey, love and lead your family this week.
No doubt, Freddie. Thank you, buddy.
All right.
That was my main man, Freddie Scott, former teammate of mine out in Detroit and author of The Dad I Wish I Had. Happy early Father's Day to all the fathers out there, and happy Father's Day to all the single moms out there being fathers in your life. As Freddie said, be a leader to your family this week. Always have the perfect state of mind for success. Life After the Game. We'll talk next week.
Thanks again for joining Lamar Campbell for Life After the Game. Be sure to listen to our program every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel. May the coming week be one of greatness in your life.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.